Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Yud Ches. We are winding down towards the end of the Maisa of Yehoshaphat and Achav, the death of Achav. And yesterday we learned when Michoyu was brought to Achav, after Yehoshaphat demanded that another prophet be presented to give us a second opinion if it is advisable to go to war against Ben-Hadad, Melech Aram, and his nation in Ramos Gilad, even though there were 400 prophets headed by Tzidkiyahu ben Kenana. Yehoshaphat demanded a second opinion, and after some persuasion he acquiesced. Achav called for Michoyhu to come forward, to be released from prison, to make an appearance, and to give us his opinion if it's a good idea to go to war. Michoyhu came, and he said, "You're all going to die. It's not a good idea, you're all going to die," but he said that the Melech Aram, the Melech Achav, is not going to survive this war. So let us go back, we'll go back to Pasuk of Gimel. Let us start from there, we'll go to the end of the parak, and then we'll go back to there are a lot of Rashis. Let's start from Pasuk of Gimel. Vayigash Tzidkiyo ben Kenano, vayach es Michoyhu al Halechi. We learned yesterday that he came after Michoyhu gave a report that was not favorable for Achav. Tzidkiyo ben Kenano came forward, vayach es Michoyhu al Halechi. He hit him on the cheek. He smacked him. What we would call, he gave him a smack. Vayom, it was a symbolic type of statement. What was the symbolism? So he explained. How could it be that the Spirit of Hashem passed from me and went into your mouth? In other words, what's in your mouth? Open up your mouth, son. Let me see what you got in there. Is there in there the Ruach Hashem? How could the Ruach Hashem be in your mouth when it was in my mouth? When the Ruach Hashem came to me, came to my Talmidim, as we mentioned yesterday, even though he was not alone, he was supported by 400 Talmidim. We discussed yesterday that the truth is, it was really one opinion. All the 400 Talmidim were really expressing the same idea that came from their leader, Tzidkiyo ben Kenano. So how could it be the Spirit of Hashem passed from me and went to you? Now, by the way, that's an interesting point because we discussed, Rashi mentioned that the way Shafat was aware that the prophecy was false was because all of the Nevi'im were saying the exact same thing. They used the exact same words, and we have a tradition. Ein shnei Nevi'im misnabim besignun echad. So the question you would ask is, if it's true that the Talmidim, it's really only one ruach of prophecy, so it's not a question why they're all using exactly the same words. Perhaps when Chazal taught us this concept that there must be different expressions, that's only when each prophet says something original. Each prophet has their own individual ruach. But when it's a school, it's a Rebbe with Talmidim, so maybe then all of the Talmidim are expected to say exactly the same thing. Obviously, there must be some truth to that, but not 100%. Although, it's one koyach of Nevuah that comes to the Rebbe, and from the Rebbe goes to his students, what we call them B'nai Nevi'im. The B'nai Nevi'im was his students learned in Sefer Shmuel. There are schools of prophets, but nevertheless, each prophet still does have some individuality, has some uniqueness, and would still express the same thought in a different signal, in a different style. And the fact that it was expressed in one style was an indication to Yehoshaphat that there is indeed something wrong. Okay, Vayom Michoyhu, so Michoyhu, so Michoyhu, how does he respond? How does Michoyhu respond to the insult of Tzidkiyah? Hincho roye bayom ahu, you will see. You will see on that day, on that very day when my prophecy comes true and Achav dies in war, they're going to come to get you, they're going to come to kill you because you are going to be the cause of his death. You are encouraging Achav to go to war and you are going to bring about his death, and on that day you're going to go in hiding to spare your own life. Hincha roye bayomu, you will see on that day, asher tavo cheder b'cheder leheichave, a very unusual expression, three times the word hiding. You'll go into a chamber, within a chamber, to hide. You're going to run for your life when you see that I am right. Pasuk Chof Hey. Vayel Melech Yisrael Kichu Esmi Chayu. So Melech Yisrael Achav was not very pleased. He was not very pleased with the report of Michayu. So he instructed that he be put in prison. And according from this pasuk, we learn as Rashi is going to demonstrate that he was taken from prison. He was locked up in the prison, and he was temporarily released to be brought to present his opinion. Now that he's finished his task, he should be sent back to prison. And the conditions should be worse. Well, he should get less food and worse treatment now after he has revealed these harsh words. Take him. Return him to the mayor. His name was Amon. Amon was the Sarhu'ir, the El Yoash ben Melech, and to Yoash his son. It seems that Yoash was the son of Achav, and he was also in charge of the prison, in charge of different things that took place in the city, and they will take care of him. Vamartem, and say to these two people, say to the two leaders, Amon and Yoash, Ko Amar HaMelech, Simu Ze Beis HaKele, put this person in prison. Vahachi luhu lechem lachatz, feed him scant bread. Just give him just enough to live. Don't give him any luxuries. Umayim lachatz, a small amount of water, scant amount of water. Ad shuvi vish shalom, until I return back in peace. And then we're going to figure out what to do with him. And seemingly it meant that they're going to kill him. Now when he comes back, and I show that I'm alive, and his words of prophecy are false, we're going to publicly execute him. No one in Klal Yisrael should behave like this. Navi Hashem, he was making litzanus of him. Would he kill him because he's a Navi Sheker? Okay, that's a good point. Maybe. Okay, it could be there is something to that. Achav wasn't a religious person. Achav was a Rasha. So Achav is not really in the position to make that decision who's called a Navi Sheker. He's not a Sanhedrin. But you're right, it is a good point. It is an interesting point. Okay, we'll see.
I think the Rambam says that if the Navi says something bad,
right, it can change.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very good. So you've touched upon one of the major topics of this section. I saw this question asked by Rav David Cohn. Dr. Friedman asked the question is the Rambam and the Mefarshim that a prophecy of gloom and doom can always change. A prophecy that is for good can never change. But a prophecy that has a bad outcome, if Klal Yisrael would do tshuva, it can be revoked, it can be changed. So the question over here is, one more pasuk, we'll emphasize the question. Vayomer Michayu imshov toshuv bishalom. If you come back in peace, if you come back alive, lo diber Hashem bi, then I'm a liar. You're right that I'm a liar. Vayomer and Michayu said, Shimu amim kulam. I want the whole world to know this. I want the whole world to know the bet between me and Achav. Achav thinks he's going to come back alive. I'm a prophet. I'm saying over in the name of Hashem that he's going to die, and we'll see who's right. If my prophecy is not true, it must be. You're right. I'm a Navi Sheker, and let the world know about this, my prediction, and we'll see whose word is emes. So the question is, but just because indeed these are words of prophecy, we have a tradition that if a person or Klal Yisrael does tshuva, the prophecy does not have to come true. The prophecy can be revoked. So why was Michayu willing to go all the way to the extreme and say, I'm 100% certain this terrible thing is going to happen, the Melech Yisrael is going to die? So Rav David Cohn asks this question. Rav David Cohn has a set of some called Ohel David. Ohel David, he goes through Tanakh like every year or two. And as he goes through Tanakh, goes the whole Tanakh, from beginning to end, Nevi'im and Ksubi writes Chidushim. And he puts out a whole Sefer, and all this the Chidushim that he has, and when he goes through. So he already put out seven volumes. Baruch Hashem, I have all seven volumes. And I went through, just look a little bit over here, in Melachim and Divrei Hayam, and Kemat, every Sefer, he asked this question. He asked this question, how could it be, the question you brought up, how could it be, but the Rambam says that a Nevu'ah L'ra can be revoked. He says that he asked this question to Rav Pam. Rav Avraham Pam, he writes to Shlita. At the time, obviously, he was alive. When he asked this, obviously, it was a very long time ago, he asked the question. And Rav Pam, I didn't grasp the full depth of the answer, but Rav Pam seems to say there are exceptions. there are times when there's a general prophecy which is way in the future and it's not yet decided and it can be revoked, but there are examples, and this is one of them, where Navi already sees something where it's together a gezerah. It's already done. It's already sealed. I don't know where you draw the line. Okay, here. I don't know how you differentiate. But Rapam says there is. He gives the sources. You have to go look in certain places where you see such a thing. There are exceptions to the rule, where even a gezerah l'ra has to come true, and it cannot be revoked. And this was one. What?
When Hashem, when the Diog was telling us about this discussion taking place between Ruchem, it seemed that Gezerah exactly was already decreed. In fact, so far that he was going to send Navo
but
down.
But Chazal say, "Afilu cherev chad munachas al tzavar shel adam al yimna adam min arachamim." You should not give me miayish. There's always hope. It's a very good question. The question is a very tough question. The only answer that he gives, he tries to suggest his own answer, and he says, so what he says is a very big chiddush. The words must come true in some shape and form. When the Rambam says that Nevuah L'ra can be revoked, it just means that it can be reinterpreted. The interpretation can be changed to mean something different, which is not as bad as it was originally. In other words, if you have a Nevuah for good, so every Nevuah there are words, and words are subject to interpretation. If a Navi comes forward and says, here are the words of prophecy, and here is the interpretation, if it's for good, that cannot be revoked. But if it's a prophecy for ra, for evil, so again, there are two parts. There are the words, and then there is the interpretation. I'm giving you the worst possible interpretation. You're not going to come back in peace. What's the worst possible interpretation of those words? You're going to come back dead. You can't get worse than that. You're going to come back dead. So a nevuah for ra can be changed. What can be changed? The interpretation can be changed. Meaning, I told you, you're not going to come back in peace. So what does that mean? You're going to come back, and there are going to be problems. There's a scale of what peace can mean. Either it can mean you're not going to come back alive, or you're not going to come back happy. You're not going to come back complete in your body. You're not going to come back complete in your mamon. There are many different interpretations. Rav David Cohen says that when Nichoyu said, "I guarantee that I'm saying the truth," means there will be some interpretation of my words. Of you're not imshov toshuv bishlom. His original words were going back to where were the words going back? Yata hinenos nashem ruch. Let's see. Lo adonim lo ele. His exact words were going back to Perek Tesvav. Lo adonim lo ele. Yeshuvu ish leveso bishalom. The people will come back bishalom, but not the king. That was the implication. The people will come back in peace, his army, but not the king. The king will come back dead. He didn't say dead, not bishalom. All Michoy was saying is, I guarantee there will be some interpretation of my words. Okay, so that means there can be change. But the scale of how much you can change such harsh words is very limited. If Hashem will say words that are so explicit, this maybe ties into what Rav Pam says, if the prophecy is so explicit that this must happen, this exact detail is going to happen, that can't be changed, because there's no room to wiggle in the interpretation. But if the prophecy is abstract, and the Navi gives you a negative spin on what the words are, And the person, the subject of the prophecy, does tshuva, then there's room to change the interpretation of the words. But the words must come true in some shape and form. These words were very harsh words. Yavo yeshuvu ish leveso b'shalom, not the king. Lo adonim lo ele. The adonim refers to the kings. These people, the malchus of Yisrael, do not have a master. What happened to the master? The master's dead. There are no Adonim. That's how we learned Rashi yesterday. Lo Adonim Le'ela. The people have no master. What do you mean? He's right here, the master. No, he's not. He died. It's very difficult to give a positive spin on such words. And that's all he meant to say, Michayu, I guarantee that I'm saying the truth. Yeah.
If we structured in a way that it's the same but yet different.
Okay, but the words, what he's saying is the words have to be fulfilled in some shape and form. What can be restructured is the interpretation. But when you have words that are so explicit and so harsh and there's very little room to restructure the interpretation, you're locked in. You are locked in. That is his basic suggestion how to answer this very difficult question. The question, though, of course, is better than the answer. It's a very...
Do you know if Ahav was one of those people who don't get out?
Yes, he was.
So maybe that's his little shtickel parrots also.
Because he went so already went to the extreme. But yet in Sefer Melachim we learn that after Navos, when Elio gave him Musar, he did tshuva. And Hashem said to Elio, did you see where Ahav, he did tshuva? Elio made Ahav in the field, in the care of Navos HaYisraeli. After he was murdered, he took possession. And Elio said to him some extremely harsh words. And immediately it says, he did tshuva, and he walked slowly. And it could be that he ripped his clothing. And Hashem appears immediately to Elio and says, did you see Ahav, what he did? He humbled himself. He ripped his clothing. He's fasting. He's walking slowly. Did you see? You know what? Hashem says, I'm not going to bring the punishment upon him in his lifetime. I'm going to bring all the curses that I promised to his children. It'll be the next generation. I'm going to postpone the paranos that was meant to come to Ahav to a later generation. So you see that? Do you see the summary that he did do tshuva? Even Ahav, he also did tshuva. There's no such thing. What?
When she died, her hands were bent down.
Her hands were not, because her hands gave, they supported, right, because she, what did she do? Because she danced. Achlas Kala, that when she went to a wedding, she was a good dancer. She gave dancing lessons in front of Chasen Kala, so therefore her hands and feet were spared the punishment of the rest of her body. Again, Hashem is precise in his Midah Keneged Midah. So this is the issue. This is an answer. It's a very interesting idea, very interesting concept of two parts to prophecy: the words of prophecy and the interpretation of prophecy. The words must be fulfilled. The interpretation is subject to the situation, which is continuously evolves over time. How people react to what's coming and how they, and if they do tshuva, and how they do tshuva, it can get better and worse. Okay, let's go further to the next pasuk. So he told everyone, Shimon, Mimklum, everyone should listen. I want the whole world to be aware of our bet, the bet between Ahav and Michayu. Ahav says he's going to live. Michayu says he's going to die. We will see who is right. If I am wrong, it must be that I'm not a true Navi, that I'm putting my career, my legacy is on the line. Here I am. It doesn't seem that he was a young man. He was a Navi Hashem for his whole life. This is his legacy. My whole legacy will be ruined if it turns out that I am wrong. He's willing to bet everything. Pasuk of Ches. Vayal melech Yisrov Yashav melech Yehuda el Ramos Gilead. So what was the end? The end was they went to war. Okay, which is very surprising. After everything is said and done, you would think they would want to take precautions. What do they need it for? What do they need to go to war and risk his life? And it's certainly Yehoshaphat. Why did Yehoshaphat go to war? I guess it was family. He had no choice. This was his brother-in-law. His brother-in-law and his son was married to his mechudin and his brother-in-law, both mechudin and brother-in-law. So he ran with him. So now they begin to strategize. Melech Yisrael says El Yashafat, his chapes vavo vamilchama. And according to the Mitzudos, which we'll read soon, the proper thing to do for us would be to disguise ourselves. When we go to war, we don't want the enemy to see us. In ancient times, when you go to war, when the king fights, the king wears special garments, the king has special armor, the king has a special horse. If you look from the drones and all your high-tech technology satellite images, it's very easy to spot the king. And if you kill the king, you win. So normally, when you go to war, you're not afraid of being spotted. Your military, your power is so great. There are so many soldiers. Your king goes out to war wearing his royal garb, his royal armor, his royal horse, and so on and so forth. But in this war, it would probably be a better idea to go out in a disguise. We should dress as regular foot soldiers. Because it's very likely, since this meeting took place in public, so Rashi explains all these ideas, it took place in the Goyrin, it's very likely there were spies. Ben Hadad sent in spies into the Goyrin, and they heard that Michayu predicted that the only one that's going to die in war is the king, and everyone else will survive. Lo adonim lo ele, the master will die. But the people, Yashuvu ish leveso bishalom, they're only going to aim for the kings. They're going to shoot their weapons, they're going to focus on killing the king alone. Therefore, I don't want to be an easy target. The best thing would be to be in disguise, to dress like one of the other ordinary soldiers. That would be the proper thing to do. So that's it's a statement. Hischapes vavo vamilchama. The proper thing would be to disguise ourselves and enter war. But viata. But the truth is, this only applies to me. Does not apply to you, because Michayu only predicted my death, did not predict your death, and therefore you do not have to lower your stature in the eyes of your soldiers. It's a bizoyan for the king to dress like a regular soldier in their eyes. It's not a good thing for the Talmud to see the Rebbe like an ordinary person. Someone told me, you know, the old European Rosh Hashivas. So Talmud once told me that he went to visit his Rebbe. This goes back probably 40, 50 years. And the Rebbe said, he banged on the door. The Rebbe said to him, "Don't come in yet. I'm not dressed. He put on his kapata, put on his hat. And then he told the Talmud, it's not good for a Talmud to see the Rebbe without his kapata, that is his garb. That's the way it is. You know, there's a certain dignity of, you know, the old time European Rosh Hashivas. What?
You're not allowed to go to mikveh with your Rebbe.
Right, not allowed to go. Okay, that's a different thing, because that's not wearing any clothing at all. But I'm not talking about not wearing any clothing. I'm talking about, you know, not wearing a tie and a jacket. Okay, today, I think, obviously, today, Adaraba, the whole attitude today is the Rebbe has to be one of the boys, right? That's the whole approach today. Not necessarily so, that's more for the younger crowd, but the more distinguished Rosh Yeshiva. There's a certain dignity. And once you see a Rebbe behave like one of the boys, the Rebbe eats at the same table with all the boys, the Rebbe does all the same things, obviously it lowers the stature of the Rebbe in the eyes of the Talmidim. So if you hear for the kings, you're dealing with the Malchus of Yisrael, for the Melech Yisrael to go and wear official, regular, to dress like a regular, ordinary soldier, camouflage clothing, and go out into the army, they have a different... It lowers the dignity of their Rebbe in their eyes, of the king in their eyes. However, Achav says, I have no choice. I need to do this because my life is in danger. As we're going to see, there is one thing that is to his credit, one thing we give him credit, that he did take into account the prophecy of Michayu. He took him seriously. At least he was choishesh. He wasn't willing to listen to Michayu to the degree where he would not go to war, but at least he took him seriously to the degree that he disguised himself in war, not to make himself an easy target for Ben-Hadad. But you, Yehoshaphat, for whom the prophecy was never said, and there's no danger, you'll certainly come back alive, there's no need for you to take off your clothing and lower your stature in the eyes of your soldiers, in the eyes of your people.
The king, the target.
Okay, so Rashi is going to say in a moment, that's right, that was a problem. In the beginning, indeed, they thought he was a target. But Rashi says something very interesting. So we're not at all familiar with warfare of ancient times. When a king went to war, it was very obvious who they were. They had flags, and they wore special clothing, and there was color, and there were signs. And it's very obvious when they would go to war that this is the Melech Yehuda, not the Melech Yisrael. You have to watch some of these documentaries on ancient warfare, and you get a whole feel. It was a very dignified activity going to war. Not like today, everything is stealth bombers and high-tech guerrilla warfare. It was a show. A war was... It was a Broadway show. That's what it was. And unfortunately, there were casualties. But it was a very dignified type of battle where you very much wanted to show who you are and you would dress in such a way. Okay, so we told him over here that the writing will be Hiskapes of Abulchum of Yatuba, you, Lavash, Bigodecha, but you, it's not necessary for you to lower your stature. Lavash, Bigodecha, wear your royal clothing, period. The only one that disguised himself in a costume, in this case regular clothing, was the Melech Yisrael, and they entered the battlefield. the king of Aram commanded his officers, officers of his chariots, Lamar, saying, lo, he heard the report. As Rashi told us many times, he heard the report that he heard the words of the prophet of Michayu, that the only one that's going to die is the king. Therefore, everyone else is going to come back alive. Therefore, don't waste your arrows on shooting it at the ordinary soldiers. Aim for the king. Lo silochamu es hakoton v'es hagadol. Don't aim for a soldier, a foot soldier, or a gadol, or a commander, a colonel. Ki im es hamelech Yisrael levado. The only one that you should aim for is the king of Yisrael. Vayihi kiros sarei harecha v'es Yehoshaphat. When they saw Yehoshaphat, he was dressed in royal garments, royal entourage. Vehem ba'amru, they said, oh, like you said, this must indeed be the king of Yisrael. V'yehema amru, the soldier says, Melech Yisrael hu, v'yasobu olav lihilochem, and they all directed their attention to fight against him alone. What did he do? V'yizak Yehoshaphat, he cried out. Who did he cry out to? So you would think he cried out to Hashem. He was mispal at this point to Hashem. Indeed, that's what it says in the Medrash. However, Rashi and the Mitzudah says that he cried out to his people. He picked up the walkie-talkie and he said, SOS. He says, I'm in trouble. Get over here. Help me out. I need you to cover me. I need you to protect me. I'm under attack. He cried out to his people. And his people came running. However, the one that really saved him was not his people. The one that saved him was Hashem. It's a very bizarre pasuk. Normally, because the pasuk begins, he cried out, and the pasuk concludes, Hashem saved him. So normally, you would expect that if the one that saved him was Hashem, so who did he cry out to? He cried out to Hashem. If you're not going to ask for Hashem's help, you're not going to get it. Isn't that the general rule of thumb in Tanakh? That you cry, even if you do cry out to Hashem, it's not Ruch, Hashem is going to help you anyway. If you're not deserving, it's not going to necessarily work. Here it's one of a very bizarre pasuk, according to the Pshat. He cries out to the soldiers to come help, and the soldiers, they do come help. But the real person, the one that really helped him was Hashem. The Hashem Azaro. What did Hashem do to help him? Hashem brought it to their attention. This is also Hashkocha, that this is not the Melech Yisrael. This is the Melech Yehuda. Rashi elaborates, they saw the flag. They saw the flag. The flag had a lion. All the Degolim had, this is a very interesting Rashi. This is a fascinating Rashi because we don't really know what the Degolim looked like. It's subject to much interpretation that in the Midbar, they were the Degolim. Each of the Shvatim had a Degel. Degel Machne Yehuda. Degel Machne Ephraim. Degel Machne Ruvain. What was on the flag? So some say there was an image of the Aron Kodesh. And the Aron Kodesh have all these different images. A lion, a snake, I don't know, a deer. Every shevet has a different image. Others say no, it's not. That's not the Jewish way to have images, murals, and these type of things. It was a color. The flag was a flag, a color, and a certain color represented that shevet. Others say it was a flag, a colorless flag, but it was either with embroidery or it was etched onto the flag the name of the shevet. Nothing more than that. Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Dan. That's how you'd identify who the various Shvatim. Here they went out with flags. Rashi will see soon says that there was a flag, and the flag there was a lion, or there was a color. And when they saw the lion, they saw the color, they immediately understood that this is not the Machane Yisrael. This is the Machane Yehuda. Yehuda, this is not our mission. Our mission is to take out the Machane, to take out the Melech Yisrael, not the Melech Yehuda. So they immediately desisted. They immediately withdrew from attacking. It's only because Hashem brought this to their attention. It could be they were so concentrated. Their thoughts and their actions were concentrated on killing. Could be they, under normal circumstances, they would not recognize that this is the wrong king. It's the wrong target. It was Hashkocha Pratis that Hashem brought to their attention that this is not the right Melech. V'Hashem Azaro, how did Hashem help him? V'Yisisein Elokim Mimenu, Hashem caused them to turn away, to go astray. To go astray Mimenu from the king Yehoshaphat and not to try to kill him anymore. But we'll see the Rashi soon. V'Yehi, it was then Kiros Sarei Harechav Ki Lohoya Melech Yisrael, when they recognized that it was not the Melech Yisrael, they withdrew. The Ish, now what happened now? So there's a battle, nothing really is happening, no one is getting hurt. The Ish Moshach Bakeshes Lissumo. There was one man present that shot an arrow. In his innocence, He did not know what he was doing. It was just an accident almost. It was purely an innocent act of shooting an arrow. Maybe he was even practicing. And what happened? Miracle. Vayach, the arrow landed in the armor of the Melech Yisrael in Achav. And this arrow ultimately killed Achav. Vayach es Melech Yisrael. Where did the arrow land? It hit him, it smote him. Bein ha-devokim, between the pieces. Devek, two different pieces which come together. What are the devokim? So according to the Mesudos, it means between the pieces of armor. Armor is like a scales of fish. There are many interlocking, everyone knows armor, the interlocking pieces of metal. But in between the interlocking piece of metal, the metal has to be a small piece so you can move about. You have to have some mobility. If the arrow enters on a certain angle, it can come in between the piece of metal and can penetrate the person's body. Only when the arrow comes straight against the metal is the person completely protected. But if the arrow somehow comes on an angle, it can penetrate between the pieces of armor. And that's indeed what happened according to the Mitzvot. According to Rashi, it means it came between the helmet and the armor. On the body is not fully protected. The body is protected by armor, and the head is protected by a helmet which covers seemingly the entire head and the neck. But there's a teeny, teeny part of the body that's vulnerable. The part that is in between the helmet, which goes all the way down to the neck, and the body armor. Teeny little opening on the neck. And it was a mazel, hashkacha pratis. That was the vulnerable, that was the part where the arrow penetrated. It's like every time you ever read these novels or...
His Achilles heel.
Okay, and right. There's always a weak point. Every even a tank, I'm sure, all the different armies. What part of the tank is the most vulnerable?
The bottom
part of the tank?
Yeah.
Every vehicle, everything has a vulnerable point. And this was the most vulnerable point between the Dvokim, different interpretations, was Bein HaDvokim, Bein HaShiryon, the pasuk between the scales, the army. So the pasuk is not clear. We'll see in the Mesudas and Rashi how they more precisely translate these words. But basically, the arrow penetrated part of the armor. Vayomer Larakov, and Achav was injured. And what did he do? He said to the person that was driving the chariot, "Hafach yadcha, turn back your hand." Take me out of the front line. Take me out of the front line. I do not feel well. So obviously he was injured, but he did not want to reveal to his soldiers that he was injured, because if they would see that he was bleeding, they would be demoralized, and they would all flee. Rashi says the beginning of defeat is when one flees, when one is demoralized, and he realizes he's about to die, and you flee, that already would be the end. They would have all been killed. He did not want, this was something which was a milah, which gets great credit, that at least he saved his army by not demoralizing them, by revealing that he was injured. He stood there strong throughout the remainder of the battle in the background, standing up on his chariot so all of his soldiers should see that the king is alive and well, and that would give them courage to fight. And indeed, that courage saved their lives. Vatal ha-mulcham v'yamahu, Melech Yisrael ho-yamamid b'merkava, Melech Yisrael stood b'merkava, he stood up in the chariot, Noichach Aram, ad ha-erev, until the evening, v'yamos le'esbo ha-shamesh, and he died. Psukim here in Sefer Yom are very short because it's not the focus. Our focus is not Achav. Our focus is on Yehoshaphat. And we're only really bringing down the story of Achav to tell us that Yehoshaphat was guilty in participating with a Rasha. So this whole thing is just in Sefer Yom is an aside. It's not the Ikra. It's just here to shed light on Yehoshaphat's mistake in joining Achav. So that's why we're very much mekatzer about the death, the end of his life. But Rashi does elaborate a little bit more, and we'll see. We'll mention a few things in a few moments. But he died. He didn't die in the battlefield. They took him back on his chariot all the way back to Shomron, and in Shomron he died, and the chariot was drenched in blood, because being that the wound was between his neck and his neck, the blood that flowed underneath his armor. It flowed down to his legs, and there was a pool of blood in the chariot. And when he came home, he lost already so much blood that he died. And it says there in Sefer Melachim that the dogs licked up the blood to fulfill the curse of Eliyahu. I'll read you the Pesukim, it's very important to read the Pesukim in a few moments. That when Eliyahu met Achav in the vineyard of Nevos HaYisraeli, he cursed him and said, the day will come when you will die, you will be murdered, you'll die, and dogs will lick your blood. Chazal explained, anyone that speaks Lashon Hara, or we have the Chazal's important, who testifies falsely, Eid HaSheker, a person that uses Koyach HaDibur for falsehood, for Sheker, or to cause other people tsar, it's fitting that he should be thrown to the dogs. He should be fed to the dogs. A dog barks. A dog makes a lot of noise. You want to use your koyach adibor. What the dog says is nonsense. What is a dog? A dog just barks and scares people. It doesn't produce anything constructive with its sound. A person that takes the gift of koyach adibor and uses it to cause other people harm by speaking Lashon Hara or by testifying falsely is deserving to be thrown to the creature that specializes in making sounds of nonsense. And that is the dog. And indeed that was fulfilled when he came back to Shomron and he died. The dogs licked the blood that was in the chariot. Okay, now let's see some of the Mitzudos and the Rashis. There are a lot of very interesting things here that are presented. Okay, we have to go back to the Mitzudos from yesterday, just like one Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Gimel in the Mitzudos. There is no Chaf Gimel, so let's go to Pasuk Chaf Dal. Hinecha Royeh. Michayu said to Achav, you will see that I am right. B'yom ha-molchama tira shakeni yasheh b'avur zet tachbi atzmecha l'bal yaharguha. You will see that I am right and you are wrong. Here there is a debate between Tzidkiyahu ben Kenanya and Michayahu is saying to Tzidkiyahu, you are a liar. And the day will come when you will see that when Achav dies in battle, you are going to go into hiding to spare your life, because it's because of you that he believed that he went to war and lost his life. L'bal yagorcha al hayezcha sibol chozeh, you're the cause of all this. Pasuk Chafei, notice that he keys the cause. What about the other 400 prophets? Why aren't they the cause? We answered yesterday, they were just his assistants. He was the main force of Achav going to war. Okay, v'hashivuhu. What was the response of Achav? He was furious, and he instructed that Michayu be sent back to prison. The fact that it says here, v'hashivuhu, to return him, is an indication that until now he was in prison. And he was temporarily released to give over his opinion, but now he should be sent back. Ulai Yoshav Shampam. So Rash the Mitzudah says we have no indication that he was in prison before, but perhaps he was there before. Ulaze Omar Hashivu Lusham. Now he's there, Achav is giving him the command that he should bring him back to prison. And when you bring him back to prison, do not give him too much, you give him Lechem Lachatz. Rotzulama B'doichik. A small amount of bread. Just enough to live. Michayu said, don't worry, you'll see that I'm right. If I'm not right, if you come back alive, then it means I'm a liar, I'm putting my legacy on the line. Then you can say that I said this from my own heart, I fabricated these words, and Hashem did not instruct me to tell you this. Let's place a bet. I don't just want to be a private conversation. I want the whole world to know my prediction, and I want to bet my legacy on it. The Amar Shimu Amim Kulam, let the whole world hear what's lema kol hashvatim ki kol shevet ko yam. Over here, referring to the shvatim, a shevet. We have this in Tanakh a couple of times. That Amim, a shevet, sometimes is called a nation. So when it says Amim, yes. Second year is Michiyahu, and he's telling, I want the whole world to know. I want the whole world to know that the Achav is going to die, and it's because of my prediction. And if Achav comes back alive, it must then be the Nama Navi Sheker. And he's calling Klal Yisrael Amim nations. You have this in Yeshaya. You have this in Nevi'im Achronim sometimes, where the Klal Yisrael is called nations. Nilafuke, the nations of the world, because each shaved is called an Am. Hischapes Vovo. So now they go to battle. And Achav says to Yehoshaphat, the proper thing would be to disguise oneself. Ratzolaymar, li roy, for me it's properly his chapes, to disguise myself. V'lovi b'mulchama, es naker, I shall change, my clothing looks strange. B'shini b'godim, l'bal yakir bi, anshe aram. Aval ata, but you, Yehoshaphat, tucha lul bosh b'godecha, hamiyuchadim l'cha, ki ein l'cha l'fcha, you have nothing to worry about. Im yakirucha, if the enemy will recognize you, ki hanavi lo niba hara ki im alai, the navi only predicted my downfall, not your downfall. V'loy al zulos, and no one else. The av shlo hahemin. So here the mitzvah is a very important question, and he gives a very amazing answer, which opens up, which gives a zuchus. There is some limud zuchus for Achav. The av shlo hahemin lahanavi, even though Achav did not believe the navi, and that's why he's going to battle. Mikol mokoyim choshash ledvarav, he did take it into consideration, at least to the degree where he did disguise himself when he went out to battle. Okay, next, Melech Yisrael who? Al kiru b'levush malchus. So they saw, they went out to battle, and the soldiers saw a king. They did not yet at this point know which king this was. They saw a king wearing b'levush malchus, so they thought it was the Melech Yisrael. What happened? Vayizak. So the Mitzudah says when Yehoshaphat realized that he was under attack, he called out. To who did he call out? The Mitzudah says, not like you would expect to Hashem, la'anoshov. He called out to his people. He gave out an SOS. Lovo l'Ezroi, to come help him. V'Hashem azaro. But who helped him? Not his people. Lo anoshov ozru kiim Hashem. Only Hashem helped. How did Hashem help him? Bameh shehisis osam leheref mimenu. Hashem convinced them, put a machshav in their mind to withdraw. Why? Because they saw, the pasuk goes on to explain why they withdrew. Vayhi kiros kiro asher anshe Yehuda levad bo leozro. Now how? So this is an amazing mitzvah. Because when he gave out his SOS, who came to help him? Only ones that came to help Yehoshaphat were soldiers wearing the clothing of the Malchus of Yehuda. And this battle, it's interesting, this battle, there were two different battalions. There was a battalion that came from the Malchus of Yehuda, and a battalion that came from the Malchus of Yisrael. And they wore different clothing. It's like, I don't know, like a baseball game. You know who the players are by their jerseys. You know what they look like. Or hockey. Hockey, they're much more pronounced than in baseball. You know who they are by looking at their uniform. So there were two different battalions, and when he gave out his SOS, which battalion came to assist this king? The battalion from the Malchus of Yehuda. So they right away recognized this is not the target. Our target is Melech Yisrael, not Melech Yehuda. Bola Ozra, Mize Yadush, Ein Ze Melech Yisrael. Litumo. Then we go further. What happened? The battle was continuing. We don't know exactly what happened in the battle. And there was a person there. And this person just took out a bow and arrow. And he shot a bow and arrow. Maybe he was just practicing. He was sharpening the arrow. Or he was aiming for a bird. Who knows? Who knows what he was aiming for?
Aiming for somebody.
Oh, so we'll discuss this. Interesting, right? We'll discuss this. The problem is that he was aiming for something. Who do you assume this person is? So hopefully Derek shot. This was the enemy. This was one of the soldiers of Aram, one of Ben Hadad's soldiers, and he was aiming to shoot at someone. But did we not learn a few times that Melech Aram gave very clear instructions? You should not aim for a katan or gadol. Don't aim for a foot soldier or for a colonel. The only one you aim your arrow at is the Melech Yisrael, and at this point in time they did not know who the Melech Yisrael was, because he was dressed in disguise as a regular soldier, so it can't possibly be that he was aiming for the king. And to aim for a regular soldier, you also can't do. You're also not allowed. You're going against the instructions of the king. The king said, don't do that. Don't waste your arrows on regular soldiers. So why did he have permission to shoot an arrow? It's a very tough question. However, according to Chazal, he did. This soldier, for whatever reason, he aimed at a regular soldier. He did indeed seem to violate the command of the king. And who was it? This was Naaman. Naaman plays a very important role later on in Sefer Melachim. Naaman was the general of Aram. And he was later smitten with Tsaras. And Elisha came to heal him. And there are a number of stories that deal with Naaman. At this point, he was a young bachar. He was a bachar in the army of
of Ben-Hadad, and he will became the great hero, that it was his arrow that killed Achav. But what's so interesting is, his arrow killed him illegally. If not for the fact that the arrow killed Achav, he could have been
court-martial,
right. He could have been finished because you violated the command. What are you shooting your gun? We told you, don't waste bullets. Every bullet costs money. Every arrow costs a lot of money. What are you wasting? Only the king. Oh, he got lucky. He got lucky. He violated the command, and he ended up killing the Melech Yisrael, Achav, and therefore he was rewarded. He was promoted. He became the general. He became the most important person in the nation of Aram. So that's very interesting. Okay, I'll just tell you now, but Rashi, because of this question, you're not allowed to shoot an arrow, says that the one that shot the arrow was friendly fire. It was someone from the army of Yehud Yisrael himself. It was one of his soldiers, Achav's own soldiers. They were allowed to shoot arrows. They were told to wipe out the whole nation of Aram. We're going to take back Ramoth Gilead. So it was, he died in friendly fire. Amazing. He shot an arrow, so Rashi says, he shot out the enemy, and the arrow missed its target. Instead, it hit one of the soldiers. I mean, which one of the soldiers? It hit the White House. He put in the wrong codes into the ballistic missiles, and instead of it going for Iran, the code, you put the code into the White House. Right?
I think it tells you a lot about the battle. Archers didn't shoot straight.
They shot up.
They shot up because you wanted the soldiers who were fighting in front, so they were one against another. So they were basically to shoot and to come into the back and come down.
Okay, it was sophisticated, but it's...
So they could have just slept in it. Okay. The arrow flew up.
So we have a very, very big difference of opinion who shot the arrow. Either it was Naaman, famous Naaman, that we're going, you learn in the Sefer Melachim, we have Torah about Naaman, or it wasn't even the enemy. Friendly fire, a regular person, the sumo, he shot the arrow, and that's what killed Achav. Tuma bitzmimus, shaloi nischavein la'achav, sharei lo hoyenikah, he was not noticeable. What happened? The arrow landed bein hadvokim, ubein hashiryon. What does that mean? So the mitzvah elaborates. Hashiryon, hazeh, maaseh, mi barzel. It's made from iron. Kein levush, it's a garment. The also nikovim udvukim, it's made from holes, it's porous. Udvukim bo klipim, and attached, it's like a net. There's a net which is put upon the body, and upon this net is attached scales, iron scales. Udvukim bo klipim ke'en kashkashim, like scales of fish. Uchamash omar v'siryon kaskasim hulavush, like it doesn't say v'shmulav, it says about Goliath's clothes is wearing a siryon of kaskasim. V'asuyim him listoim nikve hashoyon, and these scales cover the net. The net garment that's worn on the body, lebal yikonis b'machet, so an arrow should not penetrate. Heim rakuyim devokim, and these pieces of these scales are called devokim. Ki heimo devokim b'hashiryon, because these scales are attached to the siryon, ulze omar, to the net garment, ulze omar shabo hachet bein echon mehakaskasim ubein hasiryon, between the scale and the siryon, the nichnas benekev hasiryon, it entered through one of the hole, a hole against a net garment, and it entered into the hole of the siryon underneath the scale. The nitchaf be'aguf, and it was pressed into the body and caused him to bleed internally. L'rechev el hamolach rechev. So what happened? Achav said to his driver, "I do not feel well." He did not reveal to him the what exactly has happened, because he did not want to demoralize the driver and all of his men. He just said, "I'm not feeling well. I have a headache. Maybe take me to the back of the army." Hafoch yadcho lashuv lachar, go back. Hechilesi nasesi choila, I'm ill. V'legila lerichbo shuhuka shlo yivas, also not to terrify his soldier, his driver, v'yodeh l'chulam v'yenusim l'chama, because if they know that their king has been injured, they all knew the prophecy. They all were aware of what Michoyu said, Shimu Amim Kulam, and if they hear now that the prophecy has been fulfilled and the king is dead, they that means they're finished. And they will be demoralized, and that will be their end. They will be defeated in battle. So this is a very great merit to Achav. Achav, in his last moments, at the very least, he saved the lives of his own soldiers by not demoralizing them by revealing his injuries. It was a very great battle. It says here that the battle was a significant battle. So he stood outside the machna of the battle. He did not engage in the battle, but his chariot, Achav's chariot, was there in the field. So they should not detect that he is ill, and did not cause their hearts to melt. He died later that day. He died. They returned back after the battle was over. It seems that they were victorious. That's what it seems. It seems that they did succeed in conquering Ramoth Gilead, and they came back home. And when they came back home, Achav died in Shomron later that day when the sun set. Kasher Shoko Hashemesh. Okay, let's look at some of the Rashi's. Rashi, going back to Pasuk Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Dalet. Hincha Roa. You're going to see Sheyahorek Achav. You're going to see that Achav is going to die. Hakela Simu Zebes Hakela. Put him back in prison. The Afal Pishlo Reinu Shenosnu Koydum Lachem Bebeis Hakela. Rashi says the thing is what we said. Even we learned before that he was put in prison. Ela Mitoch Shamar Heshivu. Because over here we have this choice word, return him. The word return indicates that until now he was in prison. Tu Chaloy Mar Shenosnu Koydum Lachem Bebeis Hakela. He was in prison. The Im. If you want to suggest that he was never in prison, this is the first time he's being incarcerated, then we can say that the word Heshivu is lav dafka. It's a borrowed word. It's used throughout Tanakh, even though it's the very first time. Sometimes the word return is used as well. For example, Yoshuvu Rishaim Lishol, let the wicked return to their grave. What do you mean return to their grave? A person only lives once. You can't say return to the grave. It's the first time they're going into the grave. So you see such a concept that the word return is used even if you're only going there for the very first time. V'chein harbe, there are many examples. So we have a debate if Michoyu was in prison before this moment of time. Lechem machlachatz, mayim lachatz, he instructed only feed him the bare minimum. Don't give him good food. Dugma, lechem tsar umayim lachatz, small, narrow bread and scant water. It means this bare minimum. Hischapes vavo. Now Achav says to Yashafa, the wise thing to do would be to disguise ourselves. Pisrei. The interpretation of these words are as follows: Tzorich ani lehisnakeru lehischapes bebegodim achirim. I must disguise myself. Shelo yakiruni shani melech Yisrael ki choshash lo devim michyo. He took into consideration the prophecy. Maybe they were there, maybe they were spies, and they know about what's going to happen. They're only going to come for me. Therefore, I have no choice, I must disguise myself. But you do not have to lower your dignity. You don't have to put on regular clothing. You can maintain your dignity in battlefield. Tachsisei Malchus, the trappings of Malchus. Wear your fancy clothing. Malchus, v'shiryoinois uchlei milchama shel Malchus. The armor and the gear. The weapons of a king. A king has special armor and special weapons. Ki im lochosh bedivre hanavi ki im melech yishol levado. No one has spoken to him as melech yishol levado. Ki kein higidu miragum shalo divre mechiyah. Because certainly he was told the words of mechiyah. Vayizak Yehoshaphat. So here it says, same thing as the Mitzudos. Who did Yehoshaphat cry out when the king of Aram attacked Melech Yehoshaphat by mistake? Yehoshaphat, he cried out. Who did he cry out to? To Hashem? Nope. Now what Rashi says, Achar b'nei diglo. He cried out to his people, help me, SOS. V'chai loisaf. Sheyavohu la'azor lo kimo. What did he cry out? He pulled up the flag. Os Arye, a image of a lion. Shebediglo, in his flag. O Degel b'nei Yehuda, or some other type of flag that was the property of Yehuda, v'chei minuk, that's the custom. Kishenilchomim shnei gedudim gedudim mechane called Gudud Ugudud Shein Echol L'Simon. When two battalions are in battle, each Gudud Mechane, they take upon themselves a nickname or some type of sign. Mechane called Gudud Shein Echol L'Simon Diglo, a name for their particular battalion. Every battalion has a set name. Letzarech HaGidud She'imosh Im Yisparu. Why? In case in battle they are separated, they disperse. Ish Mishmial Ochiv O Yisarvu HaGidudim Zeh B'Zeh Yitzachu Kol Gedudu Gedud Shem Simen Shlo. Each Gedud will call out their crying call. V'akiru B'Kol HaSimen V'Yiskabsu Kulam Yachad. They'll all come together. There's a code. There's a code, and when the code is expressed, everyone knows to come close. Here Rashi says, it doesn't mean here that Yehoshaphat cried out to Hashem. It does not say that he cried out, because if he really cried out to Hashem, it would have said Vayizak El Hashem. The fact that it says that he cried indicates he cried out to his people to come save him by calling out a special code. He is in trouble, everyone should come assist. Vashem Azaro, but Hashem came to his assistance. Vayasitem Elokim Mimenu. Hashem inspired them, incited them to turn away. Ach Siv Shem Vahi Kiros, like it says, Vahi Kiros, Sorei Harechav Ki Lo Hoya Melech Yisrael, Shekiru Vehevinu Miyad Kishetzak Achar HaSimon, when they saw that he called out his simon of Yehuda, Shel Digloi, Kimifarish Kimoshe Shekiru, they, like we explained, when they recognized who he was, Vayashuvu Me'olav Kitzivu Melech Aram Hashem Hu Shekiru. So Rashi explains, this last year was a very critical Rashi, it was only due to Hashem's intervention that they recognized him before it was too late. Things in battle happened very quickly. Once he was a target and they were moving in on him, it was just a matter of seconds until he would have been dead. And even though Yehoshaphat gave out the SOS and all of the people of the Malchus of Yehuda were coming to save him, that would not be enough time for the people of Aram to recognize they have the wrong target. Once the mission is in progress, it's too late to call back the troops. It was a special, an extra special Ashkacha Pratis that Hashem caused them to recognize before it was too late that they have the wrong target, and they stood down. They withdrew. The ish. Then we go further. The ish mashach bekeshes. So Rashi says here something that's fascinating. Who was the one that shot the arrow, which killed Achav? Friendly fire. Friendly fire. It was ish Yisrael. Mischavein liros b'machne aram v'loy chavenoso. It was a Jew. It wasn't an enemy. It wasn't a goy. He shot b'machne. He was attending to shoot machne aram, and the arrow fell short and ended up killing Now here Rashi said not like the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says that it went between the Shiryon and the Dvakim. According to the Mitzudos, what is the Shiryon? The Shiryon is the undergarment. There's a special undergarment that's made from metal. It's like a net that's put on the body. Attached to this metal net, you attach pieces of metal which are the actual armor. The kaskasim, the scales, go to the net. So the sirion is the net undergarment, and the dvokim are the pieces, are the scales of metal that are attached to the net. That's not the way Rashi learns. Rashi learns ben advokim ben asirion ben oser ritzua shemadbikin hakova shal rosho lis sirion. According to Rashi, sirion means everything. It means the net and the scales. The dvokim means the things which cleave together. What are here is cleaving together. The helmet is cleaving with the armor. That's what he says. So he hit him in his neck. That's a very interesting insight that his neck is where he died from. Now the Einlam, now Rashi goes back, maybe the one that shot the arrow was one of the members of the Machne Aram. No. The Ein Loimar Mitzri Hoya Kilimi Nischaven. Don't suggest that it was a guy, one of the soldiers of Melech Aram, that shot the arrow.
Because how would he know to shoot Leminas in the Schaven? Why would he shoot an arrow at a soldier? The Haloi Melech Aram Tziva. There was a very explicit command. Lo tilochamu es hakoton v'es hagodol. No one is to shoot an arrow at one of the soldiers. Ki im es melech yisro levado. V'af lo lo hoye neschavein sharek siv l'tumo. And even at this soldier, he didn't have kavana because it was done in his innocence. So there was no intent whatsoever to shoot. You're not allowed to shoot a regular soldier. And even to shoot a regular soldier was l'sumo. Ela bal korcho yesh loymar yisro. Sroel Hoya, the one that shot the arrow, was one of the soldiers of the kingdom of Israel. Hamoyrev and Ischavin Liros b'Machnaram, and he was trying to shoot at Machnaram. Ulefi Tumo by accent Hiko es Melech Yisrael. So Achav said to the driver, the Hotzesani min Machne Klemer min Amarocha Azur Hishon v'Hishivan min Amarocha Sachronus put me in the back. Vatal Mulchama Nisalka v'Lehuzak Echad Yisrael. It was a miracle. No one died to fulfill the prophet's words. Yavohu Ish lebeso bish shalom. Everyone's going to go home in peace. Only one that's going to die is going to be the king. The king. Lo adonim lo ele. Ki melech yisrael levada kedvar hanavi shama. Lo adonim lo ele. Yeshuv ish lebeso bishalom. Lashom lo nemar. Lashom lo nemar. Ki nerag achav. And the reason why it says bish shalom and not lish shalom is because to the dead you say with a beis, to the living you say with a lamid, and it was meramis achav indeed will die. What did he do? B'mah b'merkav, echzik v'mah b'merkav, shlo yavol yishol, shlo yavinu yishol ma'kosoy, v'yivarchu, v'yivrachu, they should not recognize that he's been injured and flee, u'tchilas nefila nisa. The beginning of defeat is to flee. When you begin to flee, you retreat, the enemy senses that you're weak, and that is the end, that's the doomsday. And this is a very great credit to Achav, at least in his dying, at least in his death, he preserved the life of his army. There's one very important point I want to make. Before we conclude, I need a Sefer Melachim. If I can quickly find one over here. Question is, why did Achav go? Why did Yehoshaphat go? It's a very, very good question. So there's one popular answer. Different Mepharshim said the same thing. There was something that was bothering Achav to no end, and Yehoshaphat as well. Something that was very disturbing. The prophecy of Michohu, who obviously they knew subconsciously, he was the real deal. They knew you don't play around with Michohu. But there was a very big problem. There was another very great Navi of the day. Who? Eliyahu. Eliyahu's also gave prophecy. And there was a contradiction between the two. Eliyahu told Achav, Achav, you're going to die. And you know where you're going to die? You're going to die in Shomron. Because the dogs are going to lick your blood. Where? On this field. You're standing here on the field of Navos HaYisraeli. And you've taken his field illegally. And you're going to be killed. Let me read you the words of Perek Chof Aleph. Melachim Aleph Perek Chof Aleph. He says to him, V'dibarti lov leimar, koyam Hashem ho roat sachta, v'gam yoroshta, v'dibarti lov leimar, say, Hashem says to Eliyahu, Eliyahu, go to Achav, and say to Achav the following message, koyam Hashem, bimkoim, asher lokaku haklovim esdam novos, in the same place where the dogs lick the blood of Novos, your victim, Novos ha-Yisraeli, Israel is part of Shomron. The same place you had two witnesses come forward and testify that he cursed the king, and the Sanhedrin executed Novos, and when he executed him, his blood flowed, and dogs licked his blood in Yisrael, in Shomron. That same place, Yoloku Hakalavim Esdomcha, the dogs will lick your blood, Gam Ota. Okay, it's very explicit. Very explicit prophecy by the words of Eliyahu Hanavi. Who is greater than Eliyahu Hanavi? Eliyahu is Mashiach. Shlach Nabiya Tishlach, the ultimate Navi. You're going to die here in Israel, which is part of Shomron, and the dogs are going to lick your blood. Along comes Michayu, and Michayu says, oh, you want to go to Ramos Gilad? Ramos Gilad is far away. It's not anywhere near anywhere. You need to take a plane to get there. It's not anywhere near Israel.
It's a big trip to get there, to go out to the battlefield. You're going to die there. You're not going to come back in peace, which seemingly means you're going to come back dead. So here we have the two greatest prophets of the day, Michayu and Eliyahu. They're both predicting the death of Ahav. Can you imagine? Celebrity, King Ahav, two of the greatest people are telling him how he's going to die in a disgusting way. But there's a contradiction. So he has a very big dilemma. And he doesn't know what to do. And therefore he feels that someone is not telling me the truth. If it would just be Michahu against no one, then maybe he would have listened. He would have taken him seriously. It would be a wise thing not to go to battle. The Yetzar would not have let him go to Ramoth Gilead to fight. Because what's it worth it to me? But being that Eliyahu Hanavi, who perhaps is even greater than Michayahu, told him he's going to die in a different way, I'll survive the war. I'll come back. I'll die a miserable death. Okay, that's later. That's not now, but not Ramoth Gilead. So therefore, that's why he went to battle. What was the end? They both were true. See, this is the amazing thing of the words of prophecy. This is that they both are true. He was injured. He was injured. He lost Shalom. It was already beyond repair. Mortally wounded in the battlefield of Ramoth Gilead. There was no hope for him. But the blood flowed in between his, underneath his armor. There's a pool of blood in the chariot. And when they finally got back to Shomron, later in the day in Yisrael, they finally arrived back home to Bo HaShemesh. That's when he died. They took him out of the chariot, full of blood, and the dogs licked the blood in that same location. So the amazing thing is, don't question the prophet. Don't even question the prophet when his prophecy contradicts the words of another prophet. Because it's all subject, when we started today, subject to interpretation. It may seem to us, doesn't make sense, impossible. It's impossible. What does it mean? But this is an interpretation. This is an interpretation. And when you hear the interpretation, then things make sense. My father was in the comments. My father was to say, Chazal say that the Mashiach's not going to come until Asher Tichla Pruta Min Hashuk. So what Pashup Shad is, Tichla Pruta Min Hashuk means poverty. You're not going to be able to find a coin in the street. So Rachman was done. It's a very serious thing. So today, Baruch Hashem, we know it doesn't mean that. It means credit cards, it means metro cards, and all this new technology. And right, exactly. So today, we attack at a point in time where there are many interpretations of what it means. It doesn't have to be negative. Tikla Putim in Ashrut means we don't use. There'll come a point in time where you won't even need a car. Just look at me. Look at my eyes. That's just my fingerprint. You put your fingerprint. Everyone has an account online. You put down your thumb. Automatically, it takes money out of your account. We're not even touching. Just your presence. The computer. No, it's not a joke. The computer can sense face recognition. The technology today is unreal. What they can do. Just face recognition is enough. The computer sees you. That's it. The docs, you want to buy? Yeah, I want to buy. Her computer hears you say, you come to the counter. And you walk out of the store with shopping bags. The computer knows what's in the bags. It knows who you are. It takes the money out of your account. Simple as that. So here's just a little example. Two prophecies which were not to be understood. And that led them to make the mistake to go to battle. And the end was they were both on the mark. They were both filled to the utmost precision. Okay, we'll stop here.